Ladies and gentlemen, I have come down to New Orleans from the Great White North, which is rapidly greening at the moment, literally, to pay tribute to Art Warwick. Art, I admire your work very much, and I wish you lots of happiness in your retirement. And I feel awfully sorry for myself that I never have been a co-author of one of your papers. The two co-authors of my paper here live on the other top of the world, there in Adelaide, Australia. They are Cameron Grant on the left and Neville Robinson on the right. The hydraulic conductivity function of soils is so important. It is so essential to so many functions that it deserves continued attention. You may have seen this one or two times today. About 27 years ago, Rinus van Genuchten proposed this model for the soil water retention curve, and it has been the basis for almost all fundamental research ever since. It is a power function, and it is very powerful. As an alternative, one could start with an exponential function. In both cases, these models are used in a process by which all the hydrostatic information that is included in these two models is used in an integration process which produces the dynamic, the hydrodynamic properties of the soil, namely the hydraulic conductivity. If you start with a power function, as van Genuchten did, and you crank it through an integration process, you inevitably end up in the ballpark of the beta functions. If you start off with an exponential function and you crank it through the same integration process in order to end up with a prediction for the hydraulic conductivity, you inevitably end up in the ballpark of the gamma functions. This is our sausage equation. It contains two exponential terms, and you can think of how it operates as two hands on a soft, uncooked sausage. One hand contains the independent variable, that is H, the metric head, and the other hand contains the anchoring point. Each of these hands separately can mold the curve, and one does the concave part and the other one does the convex part, and in between you have the inflection point. In order to make some comparison between the two models, I will now choose the same anchoring point as was chosen by van Genuchten, namely the point of saturation. If you fill the saturated point in the theta A and the HA, the equation turns out to be like this. Now, to compare the results of these two models, I would like to focus in this short presentation on the famous 20 Reitema soils, which were determined in the late 60s at the University of Wageningen in the Netherlands by Pim Reitema. And he listed the 20 soils, from very coarse sand, dune sand, to very heavy river basin clay and peat. In this presentation, I will pay special attention to soil number 3, medium fine sand, soil number 13, loam, and later at the end, after having dealt with the hydrodynamics, the clay loam, soil 16, and the peat, soil 20. In this graph, you will see the first 12 of all the 20 water retention curves which I will present. 12 in this graph and 8 in the next graph. The blue curve that you see in these graphs represents the model based on an exponential curve.
exponential equation. The red curve is the Van Genuften curve. You don't see much of the red because it sits under the blue. The conclusion from this slide is that there is essentially no difference between the models if you choose the same anchoring point. Here are the next 8 soils, and again the red line, which is the Van Genuften model, falls smack under the blue line, which is the exponential line. It is not the purpose of this presentation to advertise either one of the two ballparks. Sometimes there are slight differences, sometimes there are slight advantages, sometimes one ballpark is a little bit more user-friendly than the other. The purpose here is to provide you with as many weapons in the area of hydrostatics before we enter the battlefield of hydrodynamics. If we now march into the battlefield of hydrodynamics, there are 2 corridors. One is provided by... Before I do so, I would like to pay a bit of closer attention to these water retention curves for soil number 3 here first. You see that the red and the blue line are indeed essentially the same. Same for soil number 13. There's very little difference between the curves, and the standard, the sum of squared errors, is essentially the same. Entering the field of hydrodynamics, there are 2 corridors. One was provided by Burdeen and the other one by Moelem. The Burdeen corridor is straightforward. You can derive the Burdeen expression without any problems. It uses the basic soil physical equations like the Poiseuille equation and the equation of capillary rise, and it comes out just easily. To derive the Moelem equation is a little bit more troublesome. It uses probabilistic arguments, and they're not so easy. The 2 forms look like this. And the major difference sits here in the Burdeen equation. The square power, the power 2, sits inside the integral, and in the Moelem expression it sits outside the integral. To go derive analytically one equation from the other, or vice versa, is virtually impossible. The only bridge between the two that we could find is the Cauchy-Schwarz inequality, which you can find in the chapter by Abramovich in the book by Abramovich and Stegen. It has an inequality that looks like, where is my arrow, there, something like this, where you see 2 functions with a square power outside the integral, and these same functions with the square power sitting inside the integral, and you immediately recognize here the Burdeen form and here the Moelem form. And if you work that out, then you will find that Moelem will always predict higher k values than Burdeen for the same under identical values of the coefficients. Here, this part here is smaller than that one, but you have to normalize the thing. So you have to divide it by the same integrals that stretch over a longer distance, and then this inequality sign switches around. So you come to the conclusion that Moelem will always produce larger k-values, predict larger k-values than Burdeen under the same circumstances. Now, in these integrations, you can find closed form solutions, which we called when I was young analytical solutions. And here are 2 analytical solutions in the ballpark of the beta functions. You may now as well call them complete beta functions. One that is appropriate for Moelem and one that is Burdeen. And similarly, playing in the ballpark of the gamma functions, you can find closed form solutions. This one would be appropriate for Moelem, and that one would be appropriate for Burdeen. And if you look at results, then they are basically essentially identical. This is for soil number 3. There are some differences, but they are at this moment not all that important. This is for soil number 13, and it is not my purpose at this moment to discuss which ballpark is more user-friendly or produces better results. And it is the purpose to lead you to the real point of this discussion, which is coming up shortly. If we now continue to play in the ballpark of the gamma functions, you can rapidly find a whole slew of closed form solutions, or if you wish, complete gamma functions. And according to the theory of either Moalem or Burdeen, the hydraulic conductivity function data should fall on one of these curves, or in between. Well, in between is no problem, because in between are the incomplete gamma functions, and modern software like MathCAD provides these incomplete gamma functions so easily that it is not the art anymore to strive for a complete or a closed form solution at all. What the point is the following. If you look at soil number 3, which is a rather light soil, medium fine sand, you see that the measured points measured by Reitema, all the way down from 1, this is a relative hydraulic conductivity, to 10 to the minus 9, they fall very closely on the second complete gamma function. For soil number 13, the measured points all the way down to 10 to the minus 8, that is 8 orders of magnitude, fall reasonably well on the third complete gamma function. And now comes the point. If you now go to the heavier soils, you go down, further down the numbering of Reitema, you will see that the shape starts to differ from the forms that are predicted in this bundle of complete gamma functions. So in the next slide, oh, there are these complete gamma functions, and they are easily accessible. Now I would like to draw your attention to the red points. That is the 16th Reitema soil, clay loam. And you will see that the shape of the curve there goes down this way, rapidly crossing all the complete gamma functions, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and just before 8, it starts to plateau and crosses back over 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, and it ends up on number 4 here. Similarly with soil number 20, it rapidly drops. It even goes outside number 8, so I should have drawn number 9 as well to capture it, and then it crosses over back over 8, over 7. There it goes, 7, and ends up on 5. And the challenge now is to continue the work to include something which has to do with the hydrodynamic behavior of the soil, because so far we only have included the hydrostatic behavior of the soil, and that, of course, is the tortuosity, to mold these curves such that they follow the measured curves. So, in summary, in conclusion, there is still work to be done, and we will continue to hammer away at it for some time to come. Thank you for your attention.